really. There you go. All right. I'm going to call to order then the Marysville Board of Education special meeting of August 16th, 2010. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Here.
Mr. Fraker.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
All right. We are all here tonight. We rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Every time I turn around, we get more people.
And we'll have Mr. Smith sing the national anthem for us.
I'd pay real money.
All right, next up is the adoption of the agenda. There is an addenda with your agenda in front of you. 4C for certified contract recommendation. Just an add-on to 4A and B. Nobody has any questions? I need a motion to accept that. The agenda with the addendum.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 4, very, very quickly, including the addenda. We had a couple late resignations asked to be released from their contract, and I sent out a note just to make you aware, and your feeling was that those two candidates could be released from their contract. So A and B are replacements for those folks. Mary Armstrong is coming to us from Twinsburg. We'll work at the middle school in the language arts. Lauren Spence will work as a Spanish teacher at the high school. And then we have which we kind of figured could potentially happen, and that is Edgewood. We were watching that population all summer. There are 63 or 64 kindergarten kids. We had to add a half-time teacher there in order to accommodate that. We were hoping they would stay underneath 50, but that didn't happen. So we had to add a person.
Is there any reason the resignations are not on the agenda?
Put them on. They didn't put them on.
No.
I didn't notice that over the weekend.
What do we have to do?
We can add them if you want to. We've already set the agenda.
We'll take care of them next week.
So we can't hire them onto these positions without resignation?
I'm okay. As long as you guys are okay.
Is everybody okay with doing that? Moving them on, or we can make a motion to add them now? It's either way.
I would say make a motion to add them now.
Okay. So then you're moving to...
I'm moving to add the resignations of...
Of?
Adam Kunkel.
Adam Kunkel.
Spanish at high school.
Liz Adams.
Brain dead. Liz Adams at the high school. Liz is going to Northeastern High School as a Spanish teacher. That's her home district. And Adam is becoming an administrator in Champaign County.
Okay. So then you're moving to add those?
I'm moving to add the resignation of Adam Kunkel and Liz Adams.
I'll second that.
And I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
And Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Okay. Now, were there any other questions about the additional staff we're adding on in 4A, B, and C? Questions, concerns, issues?
We talked about, Mary Armstrong, and she's resigning from Twinsburg. Is that the... And do we know if that's... I mean, what happens if they don't accept her resignation?
Well, they will accept her resignation. Matter of fact, I think they did accept her resignation. Mm-hmm. It must have happened late last week.
I'm trying to find the numbers.
Do you need a motion?
No, I'm waiting for Doug. I believe he's got a question.
I'm just looking for the numbers on the...
But I appreciate your willingness to step forward and make a motion.
Edgewood has 63 or 64 kids. We had two sections.
Got it.
Either that or we have 30-some kids in an elementary kindergarten classroom. That would not be my recommendation.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Holy shit.
What grade is this for?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Half time. Alternating every other day. So she's a half time teacher for us.
Is she coming from another school district or she's from one of our subs?
She's one of our subs. She was a sub at Raymond last year.
She's a step one.
I'm good.
Okay. And now I need a motion to accept those.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Frager.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Beatty.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
And Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. All right, next up, we're just going to move into the... 5-4.
I don't know how you want to go through this, but I thought just from our standpoint, kind of where we are up to this point. You know, we talked last time about perhaps making, you know, what are we doing in order to kind of see where we are, and I think we've done a lot. And I want to just make sure that kind of everybody is up to speed, kind of where we are. I think we have paid attention. I think we've worked our plan. I'm not at this point interested in a bunch of reductions. I don't think that's necessary. I think the reductions that we have made, the slowdowns and the cost reductions and the cost avoidances that we've had have really done us well, actually, as we've gone on. I think in the end you're going to kind of see where we are, because it's kind of unfolded for us also the last month or so. So with that, I'm just going to kind of jump right in, kind of bring you back, bring you up to speed. I'm going to go back a couple of years.
Sure.
Actually, because that's where a lot of this stuff started. So let's just...
Just real quick, if you guys are hungry, there's plenty of pizza over there. If somebody wants something,
I don't like eating in front of you, but...
But we will.
I will.
But if you want some, feel free to have some. I know some of you came from places where you probably didn't eat dinner yet.
One of the things that administratively we've worked on this summer is to really kind of fine-tune our mission statement. We did mess with this a little bit this summer. Because, again, our goal really is... twofold, is to provide an effective education and an efficient education. And some of those, sometimes you've got to ask an awful lot of questions about, you know, what's effective, because that's going to be different if you line 100 people up on the wall, you know, what that is, and efficient. But that's our goal. I mean, that's what I have to answer to, that's what you have to answer to in this community. I have absolutely, you know, no problem. I get hammered with this all the time. Aren't you doing this? Aren't you doing that? And I, you know, my job is really to make sure that we're doing those kinds of things. So the next one is really kind of, you know, just take a look at kind of where we are versus millage of other folks. And again, I'm going to use the folks that we end up competing an awful lot with for staffing and for comparisons. I get questioned a lot when I take a look at our millage rates. We compare well with anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care whether it's total. Worthington has over almost 90 voted mills of millage, whereas we have about 58, I believe, that's voted, or effective, or inside millage, bond millage, whatever, income tax, whatever. And the next slide probably presents it a little bit better. When you take a look at total voted, you can kind of see where we are. And then when you take a look at effective really is where the rubber meets the road. That's what's actually collected. I don't care what's on your books. Our effective millage is lower than any of those other school districts that we end up getting compared with a lot. We don't have the values that a Worthington or a Dublin would have as far as what a mill would produce, but we also don't have the income tax of a North Union or a Fairbanks.
Those income taxes are rolled
into that to give us
whatever that calculation is.
Correct. We got that from the State Department of Education to kind of be able to compare across the board. So you can see, you know, when we take a look at where we are, that's, again, I think we stack up pretty well. I think we've managed pretty well in the last 5 years have, without question, been the roughest operationally and really tax change-wise in this community, and we're still not out of there. But I think we've managed well, and we still are moving forward with the lowest millage rate in this area. When I take a look at our total expenditure per student, when you take a look at our line, we started about 9,200 kids in 2006, and that's about where we are now. We're actually moving down. We're spending about $500 or $600 less per year right now than what we did 2 years ago, 3 years ago at this point. Whereas some of the other school districts are sweeping up. Some of them are, you know, in that downward sweep. And our high point was in 07, and we're moving down. And when I take a look at our cost for this fiscal year we just closed, we're going to continue on that downward slope. We're not going up.
What's the enrollment difference between 06 and 09?
We're up about 200 kids.
Oh.
In the district.
Maybe not quite that much. I'll show you later. I don't know what it is right off the top of my head.
But it's in
the neighborhood. So when I take, you know, if I were asked this, you know what, can you go back, Cindy? If I were asked, you know, to go to talk about this, and again, I get a lot of comparisons between Dublin, Olentangy, Worthington, and so on, depending on what somebody wants to ask me, of course. But I mean, they're spending about $3,000 more per kid per year. I think, you know, operationally and educationally, I think we spend our money pretty well. And I think this chart kind of shows kind of where we are in that, and we're going maybe in the wrong direction, maybe in the right direction, depending on what you're looking at. But we're spending less per kid now than what we did a couple years ago.
Did you say Olentangy, or did you say?
Olentangy is in the yellow. You know, they're up there.
So they're right in line.
The issue with Olentangy is that they get a lot of their local, and some of their dollars may come through the ESC, which aren't necessarily captured in this information. I don't know how many dollars they get through an ESC. I don't. A bunch. But I don't know how much. So that's the only problem with this chart when you're looking at an Olin Tangi. But you will see throughout here that, I mean, where we are stacking up wise, Olin Tangi is not a bad person to model at times. At other times, I think we would like to model them because their expenses on some sides are heck of a lot more than ours, and their salary rates are a lot more than ours, and those kinds of things. So that's the reason why when I take a look at their total, when I took a look at their salary schedule, they have to be paying some of their people through an ESC. They have to be. And some of that doesn't fall out on per people expenditure side.
Don't they have a lot of young teachers? Or they had been for quite some time?
Yeah, could be. Could be.
The fact is that they are the fastest growing district.
Yeah, they're
so I would imagine they would have to, and they can't pick up, all these experienced teachers along the way. So I would have to think.
But the issue is really this: we're there, we've done well, and we're right there. So I think for the most part, I think that chart paints us well. We may be moving. I don't know. It depends on where you want to spend your money, I suppose. Let's move on, because I think this chart helps us tell a story later on. When I take a look at where we were last year, where we closed our books, and where we've moved, our total salaries overall decreased to budget. Our total employee benefits decreased to budget. Our total supplies decreased to budget. Average salaries decreased by almost $2,000 on average. We're no longer advancing funds to food service. I mean, that was huge for us as we worked through, as Roy and Jeff know, we've worked very hard to make sure that food service stood on its own feet, because we were forwarding and advancing sometimes upwards to $200,000 to food service, and that drained your operating funds. And that's $100,000 to $200,000 you didn't have for educational stuff. So it has to stand on its own, and it is. A reduction in workers' comp premium also was huge for us. Mike has done an incredible job there in getting that reduction. I'll show you that later on. And continued operational efficiencies, not only square footage cost, but the transportation cost. And again, our operational efficiencies, if you can squeeze dollars out of your operation and avoid squeezing dollars out of your educational side, you should do it. You have to do it. And that's always kind of been kind of our flag as we've gone out in front. We want to make sure that we're as efficient as possible. And I think we have. And we will continue to be. That's kind of where we are. So those are huge issues for us as we start. And we're going to talk about the forecast later on, because for us to decrease those at a time when it's very difficult to decrease anything speaks volumes of the work that was done here in the district. Some of the other kinds of things that we've done over the summer, and kind of actually started last year, in the insurance. The dental insurance, we were able to save $28,000 a year thanks to, we're going to treat it the same. We're just not paying the insurance company. We're basically paying ourselves. That's a savings to an administration issue at the insurance company. If two employees or their spouse both work for the district, they both get dental insurance.
If one works, they both get it too.
If one works, they both get it also.
Right.
But the issue is, we're going to self-fund one of them.
Okay, makes sense.
And the other one will run through the dental insurance, but they will still get the same benefit. We won't fund one of those people through the dental insurance. It's going to save us about $28,000 a year. It's no small banana. We had to work on language with MEA, and we certainly do appreciate, you know, that cost savings. But some of the other staff reductions that we've done this year, superintendent secretary, we did not replace. We moved Donna Lottage over, who was the assistant superintendent secretary, primarily does our insurances and our licensure things. She's going to continue to do those, plus, you know, the work in my office. We hope we can do that. But when Barb Snodgrass retired, we did not replace her. The gifted coordinator we're not replacing at the full level. I'm going to hire somebody, I think, about 60 days instead of the 200-plus days to oversee the program. Donna Ball will oversee our gifted program at the elementary level. I need somebody still by law to kind of oversee some of the things at the secondary level, but I think I'm going to be able to do that in another way, and some of the administrators are going to pick up some of those duties. One of the gifted teachers we did not replace. We're going to move forward with kind of a smaller group in place. We still feel as though we can support the kids and get them all the services they've had. We may have to tweak it a little bit, but we wanted to reduce a spot. We felt that was we could do that. Fiscal support, we eliminated one of our positions. We've eliminated two elementary aid positions over the summer for a total of $218,000. That does not include benefits and other costs. And then we also eliminated the district calendars, made that decision last spring just because I was losing Barb and some of the other kinds of things that she actually did over the summertime, that it was just going to be too much for Donna to take that on over the summer. So that gives you an example of some of the cost savings. Significant, though, are the ones in the middle. I mean, there's absolutely no question at all in a people business, if you're going to impact cost savings, it's on the people side.
Now, the gifted teacher, that's going to remain vacant. Is that at the high school level?
No, that's elementary. Okay. Gifted teacher's elementary.
Now, are these currently taken out of the forecast or out of our, I mean, are these already, when we approved appropriations, temporary appropriations, were these numbers in there so we should expect to be less? Or
Those were already taken out
when we did that.
The lack of those positions are out of the forecast.
Now they're already out.
Yeah.
They weren't there.
Yeah. Not, they weren't in the last forecast that we approved in May. They are in the new forecast for...
Correct. Reductions.
For the reductions.
And as a board, have we seen that forecast?
No.
Okay.
No.
I have one more question. With eliminating the calendars, the handbooks that they receive at the high school, are the $10 that's paid for that, does that fully pay for the handbooks as they're printed?
Well, it's either paid for, there aren't any district dollars going towards that. There may be some building level fundraising dollars going towards that. $10 should cover that.
Is there any reason why they couldn't just have that online?
What, the
handbook?
Handbook
as opposed to...
Yeah. And not every kid's going to have it online. We have to have some type of assurance that we've given the kid their student handbook. And that's an assurance that you have.
You have to sign it, don't they? Send a piece back?
Yeah. The fact that you've given them out...
It's basically a contract.
...covers an awful lot of bases. And you know, I meet with parents in suspensions or expulsions, it's always, you know, not always, but a lot of times I didn't see that. But you were given a copy. If they had to go online to see it, it would be very difficult for us to always prove that they saw it unless they went in and signed off on it, which we could, I suppose, make I suppose, do.
But you still have to police them to make sure they do it, right?
We would have to make sure.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they have to do it away from school. Then you have
no,
to.
No, no, no. Sure. Yeah, they would have to do it in such a way that we would have verification that they did it. One way or the other, we have to print it up and assure that they've seen the handbook. Otherwise, there are all kinds of, you know, a kid could bring a gun to school and they didn't know that they weren't supposed to bring a gun to school or whatever. You know, it's. That it's a hoop that allows us to jump, that assures that we've connected with that kid and that parent.
I may be jumping ahead here, but the numbers there, you'd sent out an email earlier that it did indicated higher savings. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get to that in a little bit. We think total staff savings to forecast. Well, I'm not think, it is. It's $500-some thousand to forecast. Why? A couple things. You know, the retirements. Retirements and some of the folks that left, you don't have any of that in there. There's a differential. Mm-hmm. Folks that left, folks that replaced, it's a differential there. Some of the retirements that were forecast in there ended up being not as high as what we thought. It was a lower staff expense. So to budget, to forecast, it's a little over $500,000 to forecast. I think it's actually going to slide closer to $600,000, but I will not ready to go there yet. That's good. But it's a big number to where we thought we were going to be. Operationally, again, I'm going to go back. And when I take a look at our operational costs compared to students, compared to the other school districts, we have lower operational costs today than what we did in 06, and we're lower operationally than anybody else. Again, you hear us talk about this a lot. I mean, we pay attention to cost per square footage. We pay attention to our transportation. We pay attention to things that we're purchasing and those kinds of things. And not as though the others don't, but we think we do it very well here. And again, I'm going to cover some more in a little bit here. But you've seen this chart before. And again, it's something that we're very just incredibly proud of. You know, when I take a look at where we are, we're the red dot in our cost per square footage. Those others are, we're not going to name them up there because I don't want them just to get back to those other districts, but I know who they are up there. Those are the other comparison districts that we're taking a look at. If I were paying their cost per square foot, and we're at about 1.5 million square footage in this school district. If we were paying, let's say, 5 more cents times 1 million, that's another $50,000 of dollars that we have spent on the operational side that got us nothing more. So, again, we're really paying attention to the utility cost. Those are the other school districts that we're comparing ourselves to. I just want to identify them in this chart. But that's where we are. That was in 07. The next one's in 08, 09. Again, we're one school district dropped off of this chart, but and is no longer being measured in the same way, so it's not a true comparison. But the others got a little bit better. We're still out there moving towards the best. And again, that's just dollars that we don't want to get out the door. So I think we compare incredibly well there. We've made some good decisions. Past boards have made some good decisions about what's the kinds of things that we can do, you know, just to conserve energy, and we really hope we can continue to do that. Workers' comp premium, Mike, you may want to speak to this, but again, these are, if you're not spending it in a workers' comp, you've got dollars to spend for education. You know, our workers' comp got up over $400,000, and we got a year, and we got incredibly concerned, and we had some issues, and we wanted to address those, and we made sure that we were working a plan, and now we've almost chopped it in half. That's a huge, huge savings to budget. You know, when you chop off $250,000 almost, that's not insignificant. So again, operationally, makes a huge difference in ours and in Mike and his team, and really district wide. I mean, people are paying attention to making sure they're not walking on chairs to put up.
I mean, is that some charts, safety programs that you put into place?
Yes.
Some of that type of thing. It's
just making people aware of their practices that they shouldn't, like put two befores up on the top of boxes of the
It's a bad idea.
So, this is savings in or reductions of claims.
In premiums. Annual premiums. What we pay.
Anticipated claims. Also.
Anticipated claims.
They would be in your premium. If you have people waiting in line for unresolved issues, your premium is going to go up. So, to avoid them getting injured, you have less premium. So it's really two different things.
So we're doing avoidance.
Your avoidance of issues, and also making sure that whatever that claim is, you're addressing that claim right away. That you're getting attention to that person, getting them back to work as quickly as possible.
Dragging it out, paying more dollars.
This is just like insurance, right? And we have to manage this. We have to manage the care of our injured workers, because what your workers' comp pays for every dollar over the first year, they call the green year, and then 4 years that they're in our history, we pay back $7 for every dollar they pay.
Do you get a reduction in your premium if you have some sort of a drug policy? Testing kind of program.
Yes, they have all kinds of programs. Drug-free right now, it costs you more than the benefits that you get from that. It's not being subsidized by workers' comp like it used to be.
That just happened. Something just happened with that this year?
Yes, in the past year.
That's so much.
Yeah. Transportation costs per bus, when I take a look at what we're doing now operationally from transportation costs, I'm happy, very happy, because we've been able to service our folks. We had to move the service back a little bit. We're still at a 2 mile radius.
In 08, right?
In 08, the February of 08, but we have more kids riding, we have more ridership, we replaced the high school busing back and have managed that very well. The special education cost, also a huge reduction there.
How did we get such a sharp decline in that?
We were serving some of them on down here on the other line, and it's an efficiency issue also.
Got like vans as well?
Vans also, moving kids more efficiently overall.
Gotcha. Now, at the end of the last school year, there were several routes that were using subs.
We have to bring those subs on now as full-time folks, you'll get those next meeting.
That's good.
Actually, there are four subs that we used almost all year, actually last year. Didn't bring them on as full-time people. We are this year.
So they will be full-time.
We really need to for a couple different reasons. They are routes.
Yes, I'm aware at least one of the routes.
And legally we need to do that. Need to do that because we're working them almost full-time. So.
What does that blue line, total cost, what does that mean? I would just, paperback.
That's lumping them all together. Correct. That's the green. That's the green and the red lumped together. The blue is the total cost of all of our total operation on average.
Now you're able to do that because of the fewer number of kids on special ed as compared to regular.
Correct. Okay.
I mean, because you can't just look at it and say, well, the average is two, because it's got to be based on something.
Yeah, it's not out.
I would think.
It can't be, okay.
You're moving your special ed population is always going to be more expensive just because you're not moving as many kids on a bus.
Right, but there's going to be far fewer of them.
Far fewer buses.
And then to average.
Right, that's
average compact.
That's right. Okay.
Okay.
Now, the new van, or the potential new van, will that
it'll help us
on these costs?
Yeah, because basically. What that'll do, a couple different things. It allows you to use more wheelchair kids because that van's going to be wheelchair accessible. And also we'll pull some buses off of field trips and those kinds of things for those kids that we can use that van during the day if they have to go wherever instead of using the bus. And that's so your Simeon dollars that's a joke there. Here's your department cost by bus. For the last several fiscal years.
Well, you know what, I need... we changed the 2 mile radius there?
In February of 08.
Of 08.
08, so 07, I don't know, I'd lose track.
Yeah, we did it in that winter of 08.
08.
So it doesn't look like we changed anything in our cost? Per bus, by doing that?
Per bus, because, again, you're in a 146-mile square-mile school district, your cost per bus operationally is probably going to be about the same. Your efficiency becomes better, though, the more kids you move. Because you have to look at it a couple different ways. What we found when we reduced high school, you move fewer kids, your reimbursements, the way the State Department does it now, you really would have to look at that closely, whether that makes sense or not, to be very honest, and because they do it differently now. But you're still running a lot of miles. What you're not doing is duplicating all these miles. You're just running one route for the most part.
I just thought that by not getting those in the 1 mile radius, that we
it overall, Roy, what it did, it allowed us to eliminate. We're running six less buses now than what we did back then. So per bus, your operational costs are the same. We're running six less buses today than what we did then. So that's six less buses, six less drivers.
You don't have that.
There's your savings.
Are we still having a lot of families out that are having problems with not having bus transportation? Are they being with the clusters? Are they?
No, I think we're in pretty good shape. I'll let you know next week. Because they won't let me know.
I don't know that.
Bet you get a call.
I bet I will get a call. Count on that. Bet I get stopped in the calls. Kroger's. Here's your, this is your transportation by mile. And again, you can see that the number of kids that we've transported were actually down.
I was going to say, if I remember right from reading the performance audit, is this not the metric that's really
this
the...
This is the metric that they use.
This is the efficiency metric that they use,
correct.
Right? Okay. That's I just want to make sure that I remember that right.
Correct. This is the one that they go in and say, you could eliminate four more routes or three more routes,
right,
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
again, we're running six fewer routes than what we did in 07, so the efficiency is the number of miles is about the same, or about 20,000 miles fewer, but we're also moving fewer kids. But we're doing it with fewer buses, so your efficiencies are better.
Now, that's for last year, right?
Correct.
That doesn't anticipate this year's ridership?
Not yet.
Well.
Let you know.
Next week?
Yeah. Well, we kind of know, but, I mean, at the same time, you don't know, because you don't know. You know, we're dealing with one today that we know where the kid lives, but we certainly didn't know the kid was going to be at Aunt Tilly's. You know, and the parent anticipated that we should know where the kid was supposed to be picked up and dropped off. So those are the kinds of things that you end up, that impact your routes a lot.
Right.
Not necessarily where the kid lives, where they're actually being picked up and dropped off. And we still try to accommodate that. A lot of districts don't. But we do try to, you know, where we can.
And back to your question, we still do some cluster stuff.
Yep, some.
Some?
Yep. We're walking the kids in to pick them up in large.
So I know that, I think there's one in Raymond, as far as one in Mill Valley.
Mill Valley. Right. And they're, you know, already around here in this neighborhood, too, you know, larger ones.
Right. I think those are the two I'm aware of.
Yeah. Again, what we try to do here, and we're doing the same thing on the other, is just try to drop out. If you're not spending money here, you have money to spend on the educational side. And that's really where we're trying to hone in. Staffing, I'll give you a look at kind of where we are, and from an enrollment standpoint, and Jeff, you asked me where we were compared to a couple years ago. And
yeah, okay.
We're 5,300 kids, thereabouts, give or take. We still have to figure out how the state wants us to measure kindergarten, whether they want us to count, you know, the full head or half a head. So we'll let you know kind of where we are with enrollment. But you know, we're down staff of the from 07. We're seeing about the same number of kids. We're seeing them in different areas, give or take. We've added back in, since 07, 9 special ed teachers since 07. We haven't added back in that many regular ed staff. So the needs of the kids really determine a lot where your staffing is. That's total staffing. It's not educational. That's total, operational. So that's your food services and your maintenance and your custodial and so on.
Does that include those 4 bus drivers that you just talked about?
Yes, it does.
That's 611?
Yes, okay. It does.
All right. That kind of shows you where we are.
You'd mentioned that there was an increase in students at Edgewood.
Yeah.
How many additional students did we end up there that drove the need for that half a teacher?
Well, we were hoping that we would be under 50 kids in kindergarten. We have 64. As of today. Average student-teacher ratio, as we stand, as of last Friday, and this changed a little bit today, but not enough to change averages. But when I take a look at where we are, and again, the measuring stick from the state of Ohio is 25-1. Now, with that said, the new PASS standards that are there that we have to pay attention to call out for 19-1 in some areas. These are our averages right now. 25-1 is still kind of where we kind of draw the line and pay attention to, even though we have to learn an awful lot more about the PASS also this year, and if the politics change, I don't know whether that, you know, the new PASS standards will stay in there or not either. Anyway, so we'll kind of see where we are.
And when you say standards, those aren't requirements. Those are just standards.
Those are requirements.
That's
25-1 is a requirement.
See, my understanding of House Bill 1, it doesn't have, those aren't requirements.
Those are requirements. Those are requirements.
So if you are at 27-1, then...
On average.
No, I mean, saying what does that mean by pass if it's a requirement? What are the consequences of that?
I wish I could tell you. I know what it was at 25-1. Same thing. I mean, the State Department, you would have been out of standard.
But I think the question is, what does that mean? They're going to tell you to get a teacher?
They will tell you to get a teacher. They will tell you that, you know, they'll tell you that you're under staff for what you have to be. You know, that's a whole learning curve for us. I mean, we kind of know that sort of well, and it changes out there. So this is what we understand well, the 25-1. They also tell us how many nurses we're going to have, and throw that into all the equation and all those kinds of things. And we'll have to pay attention to that as the year goes on, especially as we get closer to October and we get some of that count. But with the politics being what the politics are, we'll see where we are. But these are our averages right now. I mean, we're averaging about 23 students per classroom at the elementary. Intermediate at 5-6, we're right at 25 kids per classroom. Middle school, we're at 27 per classroom at the middle school. High school is about 22-1. As of today, we have 1,600 kids and 73 regular ed teachers.
Now, what do the elective classes at the high school, does that vary? Do you have a set amount, or do you have like a minimum to offer a particular elective?
Typically, if it's below 15, we're really looking hard at not running that course. We've been pretty fortunate of being above that. Those would be your junior, senior level courses. Typically, what you're finding there is all their classes are, you know, a lot of those classes are close to 25-1 anyway. Some of your specialty classes, your home ec, your voag, some of those kinds of areas have lower seat areas anyway, just because of the nature of the courses, and some of their course numbers are down a little bit. Like diesel mechanics, I think, is like 10. Just because that's the number of stations in that particular area. That's what ends up, you know, skewing your high school kind of all over the place. But if I look at our core curriculum, we're right there. We're right at about the 25-1 area. So total district-wide, you know, when we take a look at the number of teachers that we have versus the number of kids we have, you know, we're right there unless you want to do something different. For instance, you know, in some of the school districts, in the performance audit study, they have 5 period days. We have a 9 period day. 5 period day, they're taking courses every other day. Some of the courses that typically would be in the school day are outside their school day. So it ends up, you have fewer high school teachers, but you have fewer course options for kids. But if that's kind of where you are and that's what you want to do at your high school, that's what you end up doing. At the middle school level, you know, you have some areas that are non what I call standard required. We've typically had them here, as I've stated to you before, same way at the elementary, art, music, phys ed. At the middle school, we have those areas, and also what used to be called home ec. I'll call it home ec for our purposes, consumer science and technology, and some of those areas. Do you offer them or not? I mean, they really are outside of your view. If you're not offering them, you're probably modifying your middle school day somewhat. You're just not running as long a day or many periods. Because it would make a big difference. High school, same way. If you're not offering a 9-period day, if you went back to an 8-period day, you would run a shorter high school day. And it would save you some money, but is that what you want? And again, we'll discuss that at the end. But those are the kinds of questions you have to start asking yourself in this. Because, again, if I take a look at where we are right now with the staff we have right now and the number of kids we are in right now and the programs that we have available, That's where we are.
Now, if you did shorten the day, would the kids have problems getting the required credits to graduate?
I would say it would be more difficult. But again, so people are, you know, they're doing it. They're running, you know, when I first came here, we ran a 7-period day, but we had 18 credits for graduation. So as getting in colleges was not the same issue that it is today either. Didn't take a 27 ACT to get into Ohio State. I'm living proof of that. But the it's different. It's a different world. So I think
that's what we have to take. If you are college bound, if you shortened the day, how those kids would get in all their required classes?
You would take fewer electives. Take more of your required, you know, still 21 credits to graduate. You know, you still have to get that standard. That standard hasn't moved out on us. Now, what has changed is the flex credit and some of those kinds of things that you can play around with. But, I mean, kids still have to do the work.
What are the types of enrollment changes that could come that would force us or drive us to needing to hire more teachers? Like, which area it looks like just middle school, obviously, it looks like.
Middle school. I think we're okay at the middle school. Kathy and I have talked a lot about it. Creekview has essentially the same population as the middle school, but they have two more teachers. When that population gets to the middle school is going to have to grow two teachers, probably. And I don't know where Creekview is going to have to go. It kind of depends on the growth of the elementary levels. Either they stay with 34 teachers, regular ed teachers, and they sneak back to 32 where they want. I think they were 33 last year. We added a fifth grade teacher this year just because of the increase of fifth grade.
And then the other, the special needs type of instruction.
Special needs, I wish I could tell you, Doug. Yeah. It depends on who walks in the door and what happens.
We kind of saw that.
I mean, last week was one of those weeks. You know, we had quite a few kids. My worry on special needs is at the high school. We're at 15 kids in some of our tutoring classes. I mean, at 15 kids in a tutoring class is almost a full-size class. So we really like to keep those down, 12 or under. 15 is a lot. Especially for those kids that need that attention and their IEP calls out for something different. Your IEP costs are really driven by the kid who walks in that front door. That kid may need a nurse, he may need an aide, he may need an interpreter, who knows, really. I mean, we try to pay attention to that, but we also pay attention to that. You know, we want to do what's good for the kid also.
Do you use the peer tutoring at all at the high school for IEP?
No, not for IEP generally.
Are you allowed?
Well, you can. I mean, they may do that to supplement, but
what I meant. Just
to supplement.
For the kids who volunteer.
Right. Yeah. They do some of that, but no, that has to be done by an adult.
I understand that they would have to have one supervisor, but I just wondered if that was.
No, yeah, we suffer. There are kids helping other kids in that peer in the peer tutoring program.
Right.
At high school. Yes. Yeah. Answer your question. I'm going to salary now because again, salary because it is a big part of our budget. We went back 5 years to kind of give a look. This is something I. You know, since I've been sitting in this seat and before, you know, anybody that in Marysville that wanted to, you know, tell me about how high paid our folks are and I've always taken that on, and I think I don't mind responding to any of that because I truly believe in our people. I truly believe that we need to stay in the marketplace. And to be very honest with you, those have been pretty good conversations. I think for the most part, people understand the marketplace, and they also understand that you need to be fair. There needs to be a fair compensation. When I go back 5 years, our average settlement. Now, this is not our our step, our ratio. But when I take a look at that, nor are the others ratios, that's our average salary increases for 5 years. We're not keeping pace. We're off pace.
When did that 4.75% pickup get added in? Was that I could never find that in the contract, because right now we're picking up an additional 4 point. The board is picking up an additional.
Well, it was always 3, and then it became another 1.75.
2005.
Yeah, a little before, about that time.
I think it was right before we came on the board.
But there was also, there was also a change in the ratio and the index and those kinds of things about that same time. But even when you take that into consideration, we're not keeping pace, because paying additional STRS coverage actually also helps the district, because it holds your overall salary down. You're not paying as much federal, the FICA, and you're not paying as much workers' comp premium and those kinds of things. So there's a plus both ways. So again, when folks talk to me about average salary increases, I think our folks have been more than fair.
Now, on this chart, the salary increase averages, is this just for the base salary? This doesn't include steps, any benefits,
base salary,
anything like
no
that?
No steps, just base salary. What the settlements
are.
Percentage
of change.
Percent of change. Year. Percent of change. When I take a look also at the marketplace, and I spend a lot of time looking at the marketplace, and because we who are we competing against? When I take a look at our BA0, and our BA0 is about $32,000. We're low. When I take a look at what a 20-year veteran is at BA, at the bachelor's level, we're also low. When you take a look at that, we're about $61,000 for someone with 20 years experience, whereas Hilliard, for instance, is at 72. So an $11,000 difference. MA0, same. MA20, that would be a 20-year experience with a master's. Again, our salaries are lagging behind, and that's a concern for me sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in. Because if we're going to attract folks and we're going to stay competitive, I don't want to be a training ground for those other school districts. We were there once, and I don't want to go back there, and we're getting dangerously close to that again. We'll have a couple of people, some people work 1 or 2 years, and then go and become competitive in those other school districts, because we train them very well here.
Become a stepping stone district?
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. Because we've had the luxury of keeping folks here. This is a good place to work, and I think we've gone very well with the staff. And they know my number, they know how to get hold of me, and we communicate a lot. So again, if I'm talking to somebody on the street, I have no problem comparing and saying to somebody, I think our folks are not keeping pace. And if we're talking about reductions in salary and all those kinds of things, it just concerns me that we would fall even further behind. So that it's information, and I think it's important information for us to consider as we take a look at forecast. Same with healthcare. We spend a lot of time on healthcare, have for a long time. This was I was responsible for our healthcare plan as assistant superintendent, and I've kept it as superintendent. It's just part of the responsibility. I didn't ever want to learn as much as what I do about health care, but I think it's important to note here how we've paid attention. What I want you to look at, our most expensive plan is Plan A. Plan A, the district spends around $800. The employee cost of that same plan is an additional $222. So that plan costs a little over $1,000. I want you to look at some of the other plan costs across there. Hilliard is almost $1,300 for their plan. They have one plan. Dublin is almost $1,400. Fairbanks the same. North Union's the same. City has one at $1,800. Our City A is $1,800 plan. Ours is $1,000. Our plan C is $741. We don't have an employee cost, but there's more of a deductible that's picked up on that, and we have three of those plans. So it's a cheaper plan for us to buy. You know, when you take a look at the county has an $1,800 plan. Again, if I'm talking to Joe on the street and he's complaining to me about our cost of our health care, that's a great chart to show. I think we've paid attention. We've minded the store. I can't say enough about our employee group, our insurance group, that knows this stuff as well as I do anymore. And they're working with our staff members on a daily basis to stay healthy. Because when the state auditors are in here doing performance audit, they kept talking to me about percent that our employees need to cover. And they kept talking about 15 to 20% is average. That the most important question is not what percent are your employees paying. The most important question to ask, what's your plan cost? Because it's 20% of what? 20% of $1,000 is a whole bunch different than 20% of $1,800. So we've really paid attention to the details of our cost. Again, every dollar that we can squeeze out of this health plan are dollars that we have available for education.
You have ABC plans here. But then all the other school districts.
They have one plan. They offer one plan.
They don't have an ABC. Combine our ABC, though, that wouldn't be the way you would look at that? Combining our ABC and then comparing that? Total plan?
It's hard. Our plan A matches up with Dublin's.
So they don't have...
Our B probably matches up with Dublin's plan. Our A doesn't. Because they have a high deductible plan also, which is what I would call B. A is more of a traditional copay and so on. You go to the doctor, there's a standard copay. B, you have to reach a deductible before the copay kicks in. You can average those, Roy. The averages are going to be good. It's hard to equate them over the three because they are different. What our philosophy has always been on our insurance plans is that we didn't want healthy people to pay a higher premium than the folks that were high users. So C and B are there for that purpose. C really is, if you were not really a high user of a plan, you should be in C because you don't pay any employee cost, our cost to the district is lower. You may have higher deductible, but the chances of you getting there are slim. So a lot of folks go to C, gravitate there. More are gravitating towards B instead of paying the $220 a month. But again, what we try to pay attention to is really that monthly cost. And try to keep our costs down. $1,000 a month is a lot of money, but $1,800 that some of these folks are paying, that's amazing. That's a lot of money. That'd be $800 more per employee.
That would be 611, right?
That's a bunch. Same, the next slide is our single plan. Again, it's cheaper because it's the person who is single, doesn't have the family on it. You can see our cost comparisons compared to everybody else. I mean, we're way lower than the others. And again, that's a tribute to our staff. They've really paid attention and they've really helped us learn the health systems and learn and utilize our dollars. When I take a look at our cost and our plan cost, and I get a lot of folks asking for this information, cities all over me right now about this. But when I take a look at our costs over the last 3 years to budget, because I know what the plan costs are, and the plan costs have gone up a little bit. They've gone up a little bit more than these costs. But when folks gravitate out, pick a plan, take the buyout of the plan, instead of taking the plan, they take cash, so on. To budget, we were up 2%, a little over 2% in 08. We were almost minus 2% in 09. And we were up $400 last year, 0%, to budget. That's your forecast dollars. That really is paying attention to your healthcare cost. And again, we work at it. We work at it very hard. You know, this next chart is trend. Because, you know, again, you pay attention to trend. But that red line is us. Blue is national trend. Anything in the middle is really cost savings. Anything between the red line and the blue line is pure dollars not spent. Because if you were at trend, which is your expected, where you should be, because of the number of people you have in your plan, the number of medical costs, your drug influence, and your inflation, all those kinds of things, you really should be spending close to trend every year. And if you're not, you're doing something either to your plan or paying attention or those kinds of things. This is where we are at the trend. When folks talk to me about it, I have no problem presenting the information and tell them that, you know, what we're doing compared to others. When I take a look at if we were those other school districts, what would we have had to have spent when we took our staff, and inputted their rates? If we had Dublin's rates, we would have spent a little over $2 million more per year. If we had Olentangy's rates, we would have spent not quite $2 million, but almost $2 million more. So those are cost avoidances. You know, instead of us sitting here and saying, I'm going to pare back X jobs, those kinds of things, I'd much rather say we've pared back here. We've paid attention to detail. We've saved $2 million here, versus having to take $2 million out of curriculum or extracurricular programs or whatever. Our costs are different.
Now, does that utilize local providers, physician, hospital?
We use United Health. We use their network. Some of those other folks are in United Health also. Some aren't. Some are MedMutual and some of them are in Aetna, I think. I'm not sure what the others are. But it's a big deal. I mean, and again, if we can underspend by $2 million here, it's $2 million that we have for education, in my thinking.
And that's a couple mills a year.
That's three mills a year if you were over $2 million. That's three extra mills that we would have to ask your taxpayers for the same plan, basically.
Just for insurance.
And you go back to the millage rates. You can see some of the extra millage rates necessary just because of the cost of insurance alone. I'm almost done. Almost.
What do you got next?
Someone asked about TRECA. TRECA is, you're required to send your data through an ITC. Either we belong to TREC or we belong to Metropolitan Educational, MEC, or one of them. But yeah, your data has to flow through them. It's required.
Is that so it gets into the state's format for your
it's
data?
It's the only way the state will accept it.
You can't do it on your own, right?
No, unless you're a big, well, unless you're one of the big school districts.
Oh, really?
Big sevens. I think Columbus sends their information directly. You have to be one of the bigger ones.
One of the big eights.
Is that so they can have their own staff to do that? They have enough data?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. But you have to, you're required to. And that's our cost. And again, there's some required costs in there. There's some costs that we add on to that just because we utilize them a little, you know, some of the other areas, professional development and so on. But TREC is the cheapest of those ITCs in the state, and there are almost, I think, there's 84 school districts and gaining that belong to TREC as the information. They're the information conduit. Basically, you have to go through one of those folks in order to get your data into the State Department. It's
okay. Now, is that like a membership fee for that, and then any services on top of that you pay for?
Yep.
So your membership fee would pay for like your EMIS and stuff like that?
Yep.
And there's different levels of amounts. Like student services, we have to pay a certain amount. Fiscal services, we have to pay a certain amount. EMIS, we have to pay a certain amount.
Gotcha.
So then you pay extra for what's on the right-hand side, the IT services?
Some of it, some is required. Like the IT services, some of that is just the what you would call the backbone.
Oh, they're our internet provider, yes.
They're our internet provider.
Now, do we have to have one of these?
You have to go through them in order to get the in order to get to the state internet.
Okay.
You have to go through them.
I got you. Okay.
Yep.
Is there any questions on that? I know none of them were. So.
Now, the IT help desk that you have listed under here.
That's their help desk for their services that they provide us.
But
we have our own help desk here. Right. We do.
They are required to have that by the state. And if we have a problem in a county or any place, in order, instead of just calling them like we used to, the state requires them to use this help desk so they can see how many times a day that they get their help desk. People are talking to the help desk or sending problems to the help desk.
And then they just remote in and hopefully, yeah.
If we have trouble with EMIS data, for instance, you know, we have a kid that gets lost in a report or we can't find them in there. We work with TREC to find. Send
but
it
it's
with
just
them
the
on the fiscal
desk
side.
The services they provide.
Correct.
It's their help desk, right?
Correct. We have our own help desk also. All right. This is what you guys talked about before. You know, if we were to reduce, and again, we're at the front side of this. So in order for us to really hone down, we would have to have a lot more discussion. But I tried to give you some kind of format. Reduction in staff. You've already seen kind of where we are. So, but if you wanted to reduce down staff, and you could. You know, there are places where you could. You just won't offer as the breadth of program that we have.
Is that purely a program? Is that what you're talking about?
Depends on what you're talking about.
That's what I mean.
It could be your music program. It could be your phys ed program. It could be technology. It could be business.
Right. It's non-core program.
Non-core. On average, if you went in and said, Larry, I'd like for you to reduce X non-teaching positions. On average, it's about $40,000, give or take. You know, again, just use some average dollars. If you wanted to reduce 10, 15, you know, we can come in, and then I would have to come back and say, all right, if we do that, this is what we can't do. Because those people do X now. For instance, if you wanted to say, I want so many of these to come out of the high school, and I know that those non-teaching positions cover study hall at the high school, and then I have to backfill them with teachers, then I don't have enough teachers. Then I'm going to have to reduce the school day. You know, so there's kind of, that decision leads to this decision down the pike. Our study halls are covered by non-teachers. A lot of districts don't do that. We do that because it's cheaper, really. And I can have teach versus run a study hall.
The watchers.
Exactly. It's different. And it's worked well for us over the years. But I know that that becomes an issue just because it was the last time we went through the levy information. So, but it is. At the elementary level, if you don't have aides, you don't have coverage. You don't have coverage on playgrounds. You don't have coverage at buses. End of the day, beginning of the day, those kinds of things. We've talked an awful lot to other school districts that have cut building aides that release kids a lot differently than we do. That just release them.
Thanks.
Kind of like this. And we don't do that. We feel as though that's a problem. And so we feel there's a value to that. We also have some non-teaching as far as agreements with the Marysville Police Department. From an officer standpoint, we hire an officer through them. We have another security position at the high school through them. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about there. Teaching positions, on average, if you wanted to, say, reduce X number, it gives you an idea of about what it would cost, what your savings would be.
You say $75,000, that's solid
on average,
benefits.
That's everything.
That's the whole banana right there.
As we add a position, that's kind of the number we use-ish. Now, you may be able to hire somebody cheaper than that, but when you put that person in the group, that's your average. It's still, you're much better from a budgeting standpoint to work with averages. Administrative, again, it's that. You know, if you wanted to, there's some that you could eliminate, I suppose. I don't know where they'd be. But, I mean, but you could. I mean, if things got tough, state came in and said, you got to give her a 30%. You know, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And that's, now's the time to have those conversations instead of later. Reduce spending on services, textbooks, supplies, yada, yada, yada. We would really have to go in and just really hone those down. Purchase services, just take a look at all your purchase services. Could you do like California is doing right now? No textbooks are being purchased in the state of California. None. Legislature said none statewide. You're in violation if you buy any. So, you know, it's those kinds of, those are tough decisions. You could postpone some of those. We've been there. We'd have to identify what those are and what they aren't.
How are we looking at technology-wise on those? I mean, what would it be? I mean, you can get a Kindle and probably download some of those textbooks, I would think.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how some of that fits in, because I know it's far more expensive to print a textbook than it is to download it.
We're moving. I mean, you're getting closer to that, where it's cheaper to buy that. I mean, the iPad is probably a perfect example. If you could get things to work in that, you buy an iPad for $490.
I mean, and then I assume you could probably do some kind of purchase, you know, consortium.
You have to do
with
an
all
agreement
your
with the textbooks.
Well, with that, but I'm sure. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe not all districts use the same textbook.
But every kid, you know, if a textbook costs, you know, $120, which some of them do, I mean, a kid will have 8 or 9 textbooks in a day's time. I mean, if you could load those on a piece of technology, you're money ahead, really.
You're probably saving us health care costs.
He's not hurting his back.
Pay to play. And again, I know this is an issue that you just brings out all kinds of flavor, but it does to me too. But the fact of the matter is, we spend about $800,000 on extracurricular. We bring in a little over $200,000. So there's $500,000 out there that the district is picking up for extracurricular. The fees do not pay. They don't. They don't pay the freight. They don't.
Do we actually collect them?
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kid doesn't graduate until they're paid.
So the week before graduation, a lot of fees.
That's why you haven't got your diploma.
And a lot of kids can't.
There's other reasons.
Yeah. Like, go ask Mel Blumenstein to look in the diploma drawer.
Exactly.
Just some of the ones that are in
there. Some of the other areas we've talked about before, and we really have to hone down on those. But school length of day. I mean, our day's long. You'd have to look at the advantages and disadvantages, but there's money to be saved there.
Are all the school days the same length from first grade to high school?
Give or take 5 minutes.
Okay. It's not like
a day. Our day is over 2 hours longer than the state minimum day. So, I mean, you could reduce your school day. There's dollars to be saved, not only on the operation side, shutting things down, turning the lights off, but also just in staff time.
You know, so we run more hours but pay them less.
There you go. Well, that's kind of the way it works. Days worked also. We work 186 days on our calendar. That's our school calendar, our employee certified calendar. State says 184. I mean, our staff works two more days, which is part of the equation, too. Again, that's what you do. But same way with the number of days worked for administrators, number of days worked during the summer for custodial work, maintenance, all those. And if you want to go to look at furloughs, you could look at it. I mean, it does make a difference, hours of operation, overall operation. You're running a cheaper if you got the lights off. So it works that way. Transportation services, again, we would have to pay very close attention here because the state's now funding this a little bit differently, and we're running pretty efficiently. It's not like it once was where you could just lop off the high school kids because they now are ridership and they add into the
formula. They actually calculate the kids that ride the bus and
correct.
Pay us per kid, where I think before it was just you get 1% more than you got last year.
Exactly.
They didn't care how many kids
they could care less. So we'd have to really look at that. But you'd have to look at, are there ways to even make that more efficient? And that would be hard because I think we've done a pretty good job there. And then negotiate with MEA for the other cost reductions that I'm sure they're standing in line just really ready to do. But they
give them more hours and less pay.
Exactly. I think we're doing that already. But those are the issues. Now, to forecast.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yes.
Back to the paid participants.
Yes.
Do we have like a scholarship program or something available for kids who can't afford to pay?
We do. And the other thing, I mean, a bunch of groups do. And the groups that I know my kids have participated in, there are so many fundraising opportunities. There are kids that are just fundraising all the fees. All of it. 100% of the fees. I mean, I help run a mulch sale, and kids got all their show choir fee, all their participation fee, everything paid for, just by selling mulch. So there's lots of opportunities that groups have. And there's also some scholarship boosters. Some individuals have come forward with some scholarship money also.
Does the district offer anything if, and I'm just going to base this on the March meeting, I haven't heard of any scholarships available either through the band boosters, extra fundraising, or anything like that. So if a child wanted to be in band,
they would have to work through the band directors. And
but the district doesn't have
we can't forgive that fee. We can forgive workbooks and those kinds of things, but the extracurricular fee we can't forgive. I mean, if you want to put together a fund and start to do it, I mean, that would be a board discretion. But right now we don't.
Somebody told me who lives in Worthington School District that they have some program where a student or their family can apply to the district. Now, I don't know any more than that, but it's just if they...
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have a fund set aside for that, Tracy. We don't.
Their boosters don't take care of that? The Worthington band boosters don't do that on their own?
Worthington, that was just pay to participate fees for anything.
Yeah.
Ours, our school district, I have never heard of anything that could be in this. Maybe they do.
I don't know. I've never seen, I've never heard of a kid yet in band that hasn't been able to participate.
But say, I know that they paid for at least one kid's trip to, when we went to the Sugar Bowl, they couldn't go. And the boosters helped pay. I mean, they.
Yeah, and maybe they do. I haven't heard anything. But I just wondered if.
We don't have any district dollars that go to that. We just don't.
Yeah, I would think typically most of the booster clubs try to help out if many of those. At least in my experience. I've seen it.
Forecast. We do have some encouraging news. You know, when we posted our forecast a couple of months ago, we were hoping for some things to occur, and I want Cindy to go through them. But we're $2.2 million to the good right now than where we were before. A lot of that is in that staff number, that $500,000 to budget, that what we had originally forecasted that were better. Some of it is in state foundation, where we're going to get some additional dollars from the state that we weren't counting on, and I'll let Cindy just go from there. But it's you know, we were talking a month ago about it being $1 million, a little over $1 million in the red, and now we're going to be to the positive about $600,000. So the underspending has really gotten us there. That's kind of where we are. And it's helped us.
Well, before she gets started, we're gonna take a quick 5-minute break. Before we do, I just want to make sure that you know, after listening to that presentation, I want to at least, you know, from my perspective, thank the administration and you know, certainly the work that you guys have done. We should have been on the ballot last year, and given, you know, given those cost savings that we've done, we've certainly avoided that. And I think Doug brought up a point, and I'm not trying to stick it to you, but you did make a point at our last meeting, and you would ask, well, what is the district doing to you know, to avoid the upcoming budget freeze? And I think you kind of made it stated that it looks like the district isn't doing anything. And I would counter that this presentation clearly shows that it's been more of a long-term planning than just a knee-jerk kind of what do we got to do now. And although whatever that budget hole may be, I think, you know, over the long term, if we can continue these cost savings and the work and the effort that, you know, certainly that everyone else has shouldered in this district, I think we're gonna be all right.
Yeah,
but thank you for.
Yeah, again, the issue from my standpoint is I don't want to get into a bunch of stuff that you brought up last month. You know, where all the changes, cutting, reducing, and those kind of. I'd rather do it in a different way.
Sure.
And I think we've plotted along. I think we've done what we need to do. And again, I understand the questioning. And again, it's the same questioning that I would hear from the community.
And that's my point. Actually,
but that's what we have.
There hadn't been anything visible to the board.
And that's what I mean. You have something you can put up there now.
And we were still looking at a $1.2 million in the red at the time.
We were.
Yeah.
We were.
But no, I think that, but I'm saying, you know, you made an excellent point where we don't have anything that we can, you know,
right.
You can
exactly.
Say here. And I think this says here.
Yeah.
You know.
Because we went back and, you know, I understand the issues, but. What we need to do and wanted to provide for you better are some talking points, you know, some hooks. You know, if somebody says our health care is too high, show them. If somebody says, you know, our teachers are making X, show them. You know, those are the issues that we hear an awful lot about, and here are some other places where we have paid attention.
I still think it would probably benefit our community if out of this we could
synthesize
select some
it.
Bullet points to,
right, no question,
you know,
at all about
under
that.
The treasurer's or somewhere on the website.
No question.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
Communication. Absolutely.
And that's in the works.
Communication.
Or even just have some bullet points, and then you can go through this whole, you know, put the presentation.
All right, we're going to take a five-minute break, as I've been told we need to take a five-minute break. So I think it's still on. It's still on. And when that thing flashes, it turns on.
Well, this thing says stop, and I figured if you hit the button, it says stop, it stops. You know, it doesn't seem to work that way.
You just hit that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about